keep you as our prayer. We want you to invite, we want to invite you now to stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Haggai, Old Testament book of Haggai. Small little minor prophet book towards the end of the Old Testament, just a few books before Malachi. And I want to share with you something the Lord has laid on my heart here lately as it relates to our ongoing conversations about some of the calamities that are going on around us in the world. Ferguson, Missouri, Liberia and Guinea, west coast of Africa, right here in the city of Trenton. And so we come today just lifting a few verses out of the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter number 1, say amen, we've located the text. Amen. There's only two chapters in Haggai, so if you're on the wrong one, talk to me. Haggai chapter 1, amen. Haggai chapter 1, and I want to read a few verses out of this text. The Bible says, starting in verse number 1 of Haggai, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon. You can be hazardous to your own health. You can be hazardous to your own health. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, will indeed be acceptable in your holy and divine eyesight. And I ask that the collective meditations and the collective thoughts and words of all of us gathered who are sitting in the sanctuary and those who shall listen by way of radio and even on the internet, I pray that our collective meditations will indeed be acceptable, that we have come prepared to receive a word from the Lord. We thank you now. We thank you for all that has happened in the service heretofore. And now we ask that the anointing will continue to flow in this place, that you would indeed illuminate our minds, encourage our hearts, and ultimately convict our souls. We love you, we bless you, we glorify and we magnify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, and God keep you is my prayer. You may take your seat. Ushers, you may be seated. We're back into the full swing of our fall schedule. Children have gone back to their normal rehearsal times on this past Wednesday, on Thursday, and Minister White has resumed her normal ICYC, infants, children, youth, and college ministry schedule, and the choirs have come off their summer break schedule. And so we thank God for a good and healthy summer. Amen, somebody. Give God a praise offering for his safekeeping through you, for you and your family through the summer. Last Sunday, my brother, Pastor Reeves, preached, and we talked a little bit about what's going on in his home country of Liberia. This coming Saturday, we're hoping to have a a forum that would deal with Ebola and what we should understand about it and how we should continue to react towards it and what we here in the United States can do about it. One of our young members from Liberia just came back from Liberia. Where's Togba family, the Togba family? And we, there he is in the back, and we thank God. Give God a praise offering for this young fellow who just come back literally from Liberia and safekeeping, and we are asking God's continued strength upon his family and upon those with him. And so there's so much going on in the world today. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the anniversary of our torchbearers over there. Stand up, torchbearers. We see you. You look beautiful in your black outfits and your red, what is that, roses or carnations? I don't have my glasses on. What are they? Everything. All right. Everything. You all may be seated. God bless you. Long as it's a red flower, put it on. And so as I've continued to be prayerful about this time in our nation's history, in our world history, I'm continuing to, even in our own family's history, right? We can get so macro-oriented, we forget, right? In our own families, we've got trials and tribulations that are going on. And so I want to simply sow this word into your lives today about what it means to go up to the mountain. What it means to go up to the mountain. What it means to go higher as you seek the Lord for answers and direction in your lives. That means as we as a nation, when we seek the Lord for answers in response to what's happening in Ferguson, what does it mean for us to go higher, to go up to the mountain? When we seek the Lord's face for answers and direction about ISIS in Iraq and Syria and all of the crisis that we find breaking out in West Africa, what does it mean for us to go up to the mountain? When we seek the Lord for issues that are going on right here in our own church, right here in our own families, right here in our own personal lives, what does it mean for us to seek the Lord and go higher up the mountain? Today's scripture finds a biblical character by the name of Haggai, a prophet of the Lord, who does that very thing. He encourages and admonishes the people of God to climb higher, to go higher up the mountain, to seek God's face, to tear yourselves from the mundane realities of the world, and to say, Lord, I'm going to go for you even greater than I've gone for you before. How many of you know that if you elevate your praise, if you elevate your prayer, if you elevate your walk with God, that God can continue and will continue to manifest God's self in your life in a way that is miraculous? I believe in the miracle work and power of God. I'm foolish enough to believe that God can move a mountain out of my way. I'm foolish enough to believe that God can open a door that I can't open by myself. I'm foolish enough to believe that God can heal my body. Even when the doctors have said this, God can say this. When the doctors say no, God can say yes. I've seen it. I've had enough witnesses. I've had enough experiences. I've listened to enough testimonies. I've watched enough people who the world counted out. But God said, I've still got my hand on you. Don't give up on me yet. Come on, somebody. And I'm sure there's a few of you sitting here in the sanctuary today for whom this is your testimony. That as I continue to push higher up the mountain, that I believe that God is with me. And even though he may not answer my prayers when I want him to, I believe he is still with me. Even though he doesn't do exactly what I'm asking him to do when I ask him to do it, I still believe he is still with me. Does anybody believe he's still walking with you? He's still talking to you? He's still lifting you up in the midst of your trials and your tribulations? I need someone here to believe that God has not turned God's back on you despite what the situation looks like. I know what's going on in Ferguson. I know what's going on in West Africa. I know what's going on in the Middle East. I know what's going on in Ukraine. I know what's going on right here in the city of Trenton. I don't know what's going on in your house. I know what's going on in my house. I know what's going on in my body. But I'm here to tell you, if you stand on the Lord and stand on the promises of God, that God will make a way somehow. And so it is, this prophet of God comes to the people of God in a time in the life of the nation of Israel when they find themselves tattered and torn. Literally, the prophet of God, the Bible says, in the year of our Lord, in the second year of King Darius's reign, we find the nation of Israel, King Darius, a pagan or a non-Jewish king that is still taking captivity over the people of Israel. Some of them, many of them still in captivity, but a few of them have found their way back to their homeland, Brother Rudy. A few of them have found their way back to Israel, back to the city of God, back to Jerusalem. But when they got there, there was so much discouragement. There were so many enemies that said, don't rebuild the Lord's house. Don't resume the normalcy of your religious tradition. Just do you and everything will be all right. And so they went back home and started doing them as opposed to doing God. And how many of you know, when you do you before you do God, there's a problem. Let me say that one more time. When you do you before you do God, there's a problem. You may not see it immediately, but I'm here to tell you, there will be a problem. When you put everything and everybody else above God and before God, and you start to rebuild everybody else's house, your house, everybody's house, and not work on the Lord's house, there is going to be a problem. Let me couch that in a different term. Literally, they were to have worked on the Lord's temple. They were to literally rebuild the temple of God. The temple of God had been destroyed in the successive ways of captivity. The nations that overrode the nation of Israel had destroyed the place of worship. They tried to break the very back of the nation of Israel by saying the very altar in which you believe on, the very place where you believe God dwells, is going to be broken and going to be destroyed. What do you do when the very things that have kept you anchored in your faith are no longer there? Come on, somebody. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but there's some of you where the enemy is trying to break your back, trying to break your very resolve, trying to break your spirit, trying to rob you of your joy, trying to destroy your faith, trying to break you down so low that you just turn your back on God. But I need somebody to know that no matter how dark it might seem right now, God does not want you to turn your back on Him. And so when the people started going back home, it would be too much history to tell you about how they got there and what happened when they got there. But just suffice it to say, some of them came back home. And it was clear that they were to have built the Lord's house. But you see, the very thing you do when you come back from your trauma and your tragedy is to work on your connection to God. When the devil is trying to disconnect you, you need to say, I'm going to stay connected. When the devil is trying to take you away from your worship and away from your praise, that's when you need to resolve in your spirit, I'm going to praise Him louder. I'm going to stand stronger. I'm going to hold on tighter. I'm going to read more of His word. Come on, somebody. Instead of turning your back on Him, that's when you need to grab hold to Him, Lord. Before you become discouraged and dissuaded, understand the first relationship you work on is the relationship with God. And once that connection is made, then everything else will begin to flow in the order in which God wants it to flow. But when that house lies in ruins, and you're trying to work on everything else except that house, That house represents the relationship with God. That house represents your connectivity with God. That house represents your prayer life to God. That house represents your praise life with God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David didn't say just when I'm up I'm going to praise him. He said all times. He didn't say just when my body was well I'm going to praise him. At all times. He didn't just say just when I have a job I'm going to praise him. At all times. He didn't just say when everybody likes me and pat me on my back I will praise the Lord. At all times. In point of fact, when folks stabbing you in the back, that's when you ought to bless the Lord even more. In point of fact, when you don't have a job, that's when you ought to bless the Lord even more. In point of fact, when the doctor tells you you've got cancer in your body, that's when you've got to praise the Lord even more. So the Bible makes it clear that the people who came back, listen now, from their tragedy. God will allow you to come back from your tragedy. The question is, what do you do when you get back? And when they went back home, the Bible says they began to work on their own houses and let the house of God lie in ruins. It's right there in the text. It says it in verse number 2. It says the time, the people kept saying the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And I'm here to tell someone, don't put off today what you're doing today. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. And if you can work on the Lord's house today, by all means, you better work on God's house. If you've got a choice to work on somebody's house, you better work on God's house. And God's connection and God's relationship with you. These people were literally saying, the time has not come for me to work on the Lord's house. And so God raises the men of God as God always does. God always has a word. How many of you know that? You may not always like the word, but God always has a word. And God raises the men of God, the prophet Haggai, to go tell the people. And the people, he says unto them, the time has come for you to work on the Lord's house. He says, consider your ways. Think about what you've been doing. And I need someone here today to just take a moment and to reflect. Where am I in my spiritual house? Where am I on my spiritual foundation? Where am I? Where am I? Am I strong as I can be? Am I working on my connection with God? Let me consider my ways. I want to be careful not to blame you for something that might be happening in your life. But I would be wrong not to warn you that if you have not put God first, then the very challenges that you are facing right now, you may be spinning your wheels and bumping your head up against the wall. Because the Bible says that the prophet goes on to say in verses 6, you have sown much and you've brought in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but you're not warm. And you who earn wages, you earn money, but only you put it in a bag that's got holes in it. And what the prophet is saying is that the things that you are doing are futile. They are in vain. And the Bible says in Psalm 124, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor will labor in vain. I just stopped by to tell someone, consider your ways. Are you going around in circles? Are you doing the same thing and not getting a different result? Are you putting money in a bag, but it's only going out at the bottom because there's holes in the bag? Are your efforts producing fruit, or are they not? Are the fruit dying on the vine? I just want to say, I'm sure there's some of you who feel like you're in a holding pattern. And the Bible says, consider your ways. Some of you may feel like you're not getting as far as you need to get. And the Bible says, consider your ways. To some of you who are battling against the same old demons you've been battling against last year. And God says every wrong ought to go higher and higher. The Bible says consider your ways. Some of you are in the same spiritual condition and literally may even be in the same physical condition that you've been in the last year or two or three. And God is saying, I didn't deliver you just to stay where you are. I didn't bring you through that for you just to stay in this. I didn't bring you out of that for you just to keep dealing with this. I want you to go higher. I want you to get stronger. I want you to go farther. I want you to go lift up your praise better. I want to see improvements. But some of us find ourselves in places where it seems futile. And that's what verse 6 speaks to us. The futility of doing what we're doing and nothing being produced. And so the prophet goes on to speak in verse number 9. He says, God says, you look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. See, some of us don't want to hear that. God blew it away. Now, we have to be careful, to be mindful, to not put God in a place where God is somehow caught in tragedy and trauma and death and confusion. I do not believe that the Ebola breakout in West Africa is something that God intentionally did to kill over 1,000 people in Liberia and over 1,000 people in Sierra Leone. But I do believe the devil can't do any more than God allows. And so somewhere in the tension of what is and who I know God to be, I need to keep holding on to God's unchanging hand and saying, it might be Ebola, God, but I believe you're bigger than Ebola. It might be Ferguson, God, but I believe you're bigger than Ferguson. It might be what's going on in my house, God, but I believe you're bigger than what's going on in my house. Do I have a witness here today? It might be cancer in my body, God, but I believe that you are bigger than what I'm going through. But there are times I absolutely believe there's some stuff I probably knew I had no business doing, shouldn't have been doing it, and I tried to do it anyway because I thought I was big and bad, and God huffed and God puffed and God just blew it down because I had no business doing it in the first place. I had no business going there in the first place. I had no business drinking it in the first place. I had no business smoking it in the... I'm just trying to be real with somebody. I had no business saying it in the first place. And God blew it down because God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God is a merciful God. And you better thank him in some cases that he saved you from yourself. Anybody ever been saved from themselves? Has anybody ever been saved from... You know you shouldn't have been there. You know you shouldn't have been doing what you were doing. God blew it down, but he gave you grace. Somebody should have been running around the church right there. Because that's somebody's testimony. God blew it down. Because I wasn't doing it for him in the first place. I was doing it for me. I was trying to make me look good. I was trying to make me feel good. I was trying to make me get to some places. But unless the Lord builds the house, I don't want it. Unless the Lord gives it to me, I don't want it. Unless the Lord opens the door, I don't want it. Unless the Lord makes a way, I don't want it. Anybody with me today? I'd rather have what God has for me than what the devil's trying to give to me. Bible says in verse number 9, you did these things. And God says, I blew it away. Why did I do that? Because my house was in ruins. While every one of you ran to his own house and did their own thing. And that's why I've titled the sermon, You Can Be Hazardous to Your Own Health. When we put us in front of God, when we see things through our lens as opposed to the lens of God, I'm talking about our sicknesses. I'm talking about our employment situation. I'm talking about everything in your life. I'm talking about your relationships. When you work on you and you don't work on God, God has a way of getting our attention. But the prophet says something to me that's so encouraging. He says in verse number 8, and this is where I want to end my sermon today. He says in verse number 8, I need you to understand what it means when you consider your ways. He says in verse number 7, consider your ways. Verse number 8, he says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. How many of you know that in this text, he literally means the temple? He means the rebuilding of the house of God, so that you understand that when you put my house before your house, then I will begin to work things out. But as long as you have your house before my house, you might run into a blockade. You may run into challenges. You may run into situations. But when you begin to work on my house, and how many of you know the only place you can work on your God's house is by going up a little bit higher. You got to elevate yourself above your situations in order to find the resources that are needed to build God's house. God spoke to me, I want you to do a whole sermon series at some point. He didn't say when, about the mountains in the Bible. And I want you to tell the people about Mount Sinai. Good things happen on mountains. Tell them about Mount Sinai, because there is where I gave Moses the tablets of the commandments. Tell them about Mount Nebo. It was there when Moses looked over to the promised land and was able to get a glimpse, even though he couldn't get there with him. Tell them about Mount Carmel, when Elijah cursed the 450 prophets of Baal and burned up everything that the devil was trying to do. Tell them about Mount Olives. After Jesus gave the communion, the Bible says he stepped on a cloud and ascended into heaven. I'm here to tell y'all, when you go up to the mountains, great things happen on the mountaintop. Has anybody ever elevated their praise? Has anybody ever elevated their worship? Has anybody ever elevated their understanding of God's word? Has anybody ever tried to go higher? Because I believe that literally in this text, it says that you are to go up to the mountains and get the things to build the temple of God. And I'm here to tell all of us here today that the things to work on your relationship with God is not down, but it is up. And that's why I need folk to stop walking with their heads down, but to lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. I need folk to stop drooping their shoulders and to square their shoulders back and to understand that God's got everything for me up there. And as long as I can keep my focus, I'm talking about some of y'all that are going through challenges on your job. Stop looking down and start looking up. Because I believe that when you look up and begin to go up to the mountain, that God begins to do things for you. And the Bible says that when they started to go up, then the word of the Lord came to the people. And it says in verse number 12, it goes on to say, then all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, and the people began to fear God. God will take your futility and your vanity, and turn it into prosperity and opportunity. Let me say that one more time. When you find yourself stuck in a rut and you feel like you're spinning your wheels going round and round, God will take your vanity and your futility and he will transform it into opportunity and prosperity. But you've got to do one thing. You've got to obey the voice of the Lord. Because it is only when they obeyed the voice of the Lord. Listen, I don't want to get into a sophisticated theological argument about what it means to obey the voice of the Lord. You know what it means to obey the voice of the Lord. Just do what the Lord said to do. And when you fall to have enough humility to fall on your knees and say, Father, I messed up. I'm asking for your grace and I'm asking for your mercy. But when you get arrogant, and I'm going to say something that probably might be taken a little bit out of context, but I'm feeling it right now. When you act like your stuff don't stink. And you act like your arrogance is greater than your humility. God will find a way to get your attention. Yes, he will. But if you're humble enough to say, Father, I'm trying. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I'm trying to have a good attitude. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to love my enemies. I'm trying to pray for those who despitefully use me. I'm trying to study your word. I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to be a praise warrior. Anybody trying here today? I believe God is looking for those who are trying. And so when they humbled themselves and became obedient to God's word, look what the Bible says in verse number 13 and 14. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people. And this was the message. It's not sophisticated. It's not theologically exegetical. You don't need to exegete. You don't need to have a master's degree from a school of divinity or school of theology. You don't have to go back to school. All the word of God says is, when you do me, God says, I'll be with you. When you put me first, I'm with you. And I need to remind you, when I'm with you, I'm more than the world against you. Has anybody understood that when God is on your side, all your enemies can come up against you? But when God is on your side, when the doctors have told you you won't get healed, but when God is on your side, when you got problems on your job, but when God is on your side, when you got problems in your house, but when God is on your side, hallelujah, when God is on your side, I'm so glad today that I've got God on my side. And when God is with me, I can do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I need someone here today to understand the simple profundity of the message. Simple but profound. Simple but profound. Then I can hear, when I stop doing me and I start doing God, then I can hear, no matter how dark it looks, God is with me. No matter how hard it looks, God is with me. No matter how terrible it looks like, God is with me. That's why, whether it's Ferguson or Ebola, I'm going to stand on the promises of God. I'm going to keep going up to the mountain. I'm going to keep, you know how grandmama said, I'm sending up my timber. Anybody sending up their timber? Anybody praying up their
their timber? Anybody praising up their timber? Anybody sending up their timber? I'm sending up my timber. Sending up my timber. Because the things for me to work on my house, my relationship with God, are not down in the valley. They're on top of the mountain. And the sooner I realize it's not about me. Let me say that thing again. The sooner I realize it's not about me, but it's about how I reflect the glory of God, then God will begin to open that thing up, and you will begin to experience miracles in your life, and you will begin to advance yourself down a, or God will begin to advance you down a path that you couldn't even imagine if you thought about it. And so I need someone here today to get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. Stop being hazardous to your own health. Because I believe how you approach your challenges in life has everything to do with how you get through your challenges in life. And how many of you know, if you put God first, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Come on, Aaron. And all other things shall be added unto you. I'm talking about every other thing. I'm talking about everything you need. If you just put God first and work on your relationship with him, that God will begin to manifest God's self. In a way that is undeniable. And in a way that is real. And so I just stopped by to tell everybody and somebody about a little man by the name of Haggai. Who came on by in the year, in the second year of King Darius's reign. To tell the people of God, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. But I'm holding on to his powerful hand. Anybody yet holding on to God's powerful hand? I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain, but I'm doing my best to make it in. I don't care if I get there in last place, as long as I make it in. A lot of y'all want to be first, go ahead. But as long as I can just cross the finish line and make it in. I believe God will be pleased in the name of Jesus. That's all I have to say to somebody. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. And understand that God is still high and lifted up. In the name of Jesus Christ. I need somebody, deacons and deaconess and clergy, to help me go extend an invitation to someone here today. Someone here today. Someone needed to hear this message. And it is my prayer today that all of us would heed the word of God and consider your ways. I don't know why you're in what you're in, but just reflect for a moment and say, Father, if there's anything in me that isn't right, take it out and keep molding me. And I, on the other hand, are going to keep working on you. Because I know if I put you first, you'll make a way for me out of no way. In the name of Jesus. Someone needed to hear that message. Anybody want to put God first today? You've been going around in circles. You've been spinning your wheels. But God is saying, trust me today. Trust me today. Trust me today. Go ahead and sing quiet. As the choir sings the invitation, I want to invite someone who doesn't have a church, who wants to unite with the body of Christ, to come join us today. If you're looking for a church home, I invite you to come join us today.